Right. Let's dust this one off.
Crack on.
I mean, it feels like it's been about a year, even though it's been, what, four to five months?
Not counting Stan Lee, obviously.
Yeah, not counting our previous episode. Yeah. But it's...
It does feel like it's been a really, really long time.
Well, I guess because we put all that weight in Infinity War.
Yeah.
And then we watched Ant-Man and the Wasp, what, early August?
Yeah.
I get the feeling it came out on, like, August the 4th in the UK.
Yeah, we could look this up, but we're not going to.
No, I'm not going to look it up. And then it came out on about August the 4th, mm-hmm. and then we didn't record it.
Yeah.
We missed the US release date of the DVD or home video. Is it just called home release available on?
Yeah, let's call it the home release.
I mean, it's not what we call it. What's it?
What's it in America?
Well, what's just?
Oh, jeez. To be honest, I can only assume people still call it the DVD release or the stream.
But was it ever called the DVD release, or was it just called home video?
No, it was definitely called the
available
DVD
to
release.
Buy on Blu-ray and DVD from December the 3rd in UK stores.
Yes,
which is why we're doing this episode. I've not done an intro yet.
All right.
So
we're just waffling.
Yeah, we're just waffling. So
hello. Have we started? Oh, Jesus.
I think we might have started.
Great.
Hello and welcome to today's show. As you might have guessed, we're talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp. If you've listened to some of our ramblings so far, no intro today. I know Anna, you were slightly miffed a minute or two ago that we're not going to do pun intros, but that's not because we've scrapped them. It's just, look, this is a special. Let's give it a special treatment. I think it doesn't need that run-of-the-mill, thought-out treatment that we usually give our listeners for our season episodes. We need to do something special. And that's why today we'll be talking about Ant-Man and the... Is it Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
It's not Ant-Man and Wasp.
Ant-Man, we really should...
Is it the Wasp?
We have done zero prep. This is bad. We care and respect you, listeners. We feel really bad.
Because Evangeline Lilly's character is Wasp.
Yeah.
But the movie's...
Interesting. Yep. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Unless it's just to say there is only one Wasp.
Maybe.
Because I guess there's two...
Ant-Men.
Ant-Men? Is there?
There kind of are two Ant-Men in this movie.
Yeah, because... Well, but I mean, you know, in... But then there was... Oh, so there was... Is Janet... So in Ant-Man 1...
Good point, yeah.
When you see Janet and Old Lad at the end in their Ant-Man suits, is...
And the flashback in this one.
Yeah. Is she in a Wasp suit? Or is the Wasp suit different from... Because... At the end of the first one, he says that he's been making that suit specifically for Hope.
Yeah.
So, is this the first Wasp, and that's why it's the Wasp, but just Ant-Man?
Don't know. Okay. So I don't have the answer.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. So we're going to be discussing this movie. We're going to do a short podcast.
Yep.
Because it's a special, once again.
Anonymous one.
And it's a tiny ant-themed podcast. And we're going to discuss this movie on today's A Marvelous Lunch Break.
Yay!
There's our intro. Joining me, as always, is Miss Marvel herself.
Hello.
Anna Harrison. And what would our podcast be without Agent... where is he? Why is Martin not here?
Because Ant-Man is Martin's least favourite thing.
Okay, that's fair enough. I mean, I think he rated other movies lower.
He did. But, he did, yeah.
We'll let him off on this one. Yeah. It's been a long summer for everyone. He was busy when it came to watching this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably have to watch it at some point.
Definitely.
But, you know, you don't come and listen to this podcast for detailed analysis of Marvel movies. You come to this podcast for three people who kind of seen the movie, kind of like them, but also have some strong opinions just about general things. And Martin is not here, so he will not be reviewing Ant-Man and the Wasp. But that doesn't mean he won't return on this podcast. But we'll talk more about that later on. Let's not spoil anything just yet. Let's keep people teased. Season 2. So, if this is the first time you're joining in, I appreciate this is quiet and structured. Thank you very much for listening this far. Thank you very much if you have subscribed and you've stayed subscribed and this has popped up in your podcast feed and you're listening to us now. Thank you very much for tuning in once again and staying with us. And if you're a brand new listener, as we've said, this is a special season one. Please go back and listen to all of season one if you'd like. It was awesome. We had a riot. Watching every single Marvel Cinematic Universe movie in the lead up to Avengers Infinity War and then discussing Avengers Infinity War and then doing a wrap up podcast afterwards with a quiz. Really proud of the quiz still. But there are spoilers in this podcast. We're going to talk about the movie. We're probably going to talk about other Marvel movies and maybe even future Marvel movies. We don't have spoilers for those yet, but if they existed, we'd have spoilers for them. Please remember to review it. We've got 6 iTunes reviews.
Yes.
It feels great. We've had more than 6 reviews, but we've had 6 pieces of feedback left. Including my favourite, which is it's not marvellous, but it's very Marvel good.
Marvel good.
So a Marvel... should we change our name to a Marvel good lunch
Marvel
break?
Marvel good lunch break.
God, that's a mouthful, isn't it? So yeah, please remember to review it. Leave a little comment on your review if you like, because we like reading those. And if you've got anything nasty to say, we'll just ignore it and continue doing the same thing anyway. And so you can listen to us again when season 2 begins in the new year. Remember to subscribe. Or if subscribe isn't how the button labeled on your podcast app is labeled, follow. Whatever. We're not subscribe elitists. Followers, that's fine. But yeah, we've teased season 2 enough. I've said season 2 4 times now, season 2. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that later in the show. But for now, one thing we always kick off with, this is a special, but we've still got it, because it's one of the most special moments of these podcasts. Anna. Now, the rules for the previous season, what were they?
So, before, I was doing a 30-second recap of the movie and then doing a 2-minute more in-depth recap.
So, we had 2.
We had 2.
A-B testing.
Yeah.
It's fine. We figured out which was better, which was worse, which was easier for you.
Yeah. And we threw out all that data pretty much.
So, I mean, neither. So, what have we got now?
Okay. So, going forward... Possibly for season 2.
The whole
as well.
Movie in a second.
Oh, geez. That would just be making some sort of reaction noise, wouldn't it?
What would your reaction noise for Ant-Man and the Wasp be?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that would be it.
Okay. New feature. Anna's reaction in 1 second. So far we've got...
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so in a more serious note, because you've actually prepared something.
Okay. So... Going forward now, because I felt like 2 minutes was a little bit too long. Like it took up a big chunk of the pod, and I mean 30 seconds. That's nothing. I don't get to stretch my wings as a fast talking copywriter.
Okay.
So this going forward, please let me know how you think. If you missed the 2 minutes, let me know. If you think the 30 seconds was the way to go, but for the time being, going with 1 minute.
I need to get a stopwatch. Okay. I need to get a stopwatch on the go.
I'm going to put this out there right now. This was way harder than I thought it was going to be. It's so much harder than the 2 minutes, but I'm going to do my darndest. Let's see how it goes.
Okay, I don't think I stopped the stopwatch since the last time we did this. It's currently at 528 hours. Oh, I mean, that's...
That's so funny.
Right, so you're going to get a minute. When the minute's up, the timer will sound. You got to stop. If you don't finish it.
Don't finish it.
I'm going to cheer you on throughout the way.
Okay. All right.
So don't get distracted.
I won't.
What do you want? With the minute, do you still want a 3-second countdown?
Yes, please.
You want a 3-second.
3 seconds, go.
3 seconds, go. When you say go, I'll hit the start button.
You're going to say go. You're going to say go. As soon as you say go, I'm going to start talking.
I'm going to say 3, 2, 1. Go.
Yes.
And then when I say go, I'm going to press the start button.
Yeah, because we've had some confusion in the past, so I want to nail this down.
Yeah, and I'm not going to fuck about. I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay.
I'm going to do a little suspense.
Okay.
I mean,
God, I'm running so tight. Okay, do it. Let's go.
No, I'm saying go.
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Go.
Flashback. Hank and Hope Pym and her Bob are reliving the story of Mommy Pym's last days. Now, as they plan to get her back from the quantum realm, Scott is on house arrest, building awesome mazes and hanging out with the MCU's cutest kid. When a home arrest montage is interrupted by psychic message from Mommy Pym, Hank, Hope, and her new hair kidnap Scott, leaving behind gross aunt decoy. Creepy businessman Birch has the science gizmo they need, but the deal's interrupted by crazy dimension-skipping ghost. Fight time, shrinking, and beginning. Massive salt shaker and ghost steals a tiny lab. After hilarious school interlude, the attempt to take back the lab results in capture an exposition. Turns out ghost is literally falling apart and needs a Pym tech fix. Bad news is going to destroy Mommy Pym. With the help of some massive ant, the teams escape. Mommy Pym gives advice using Scott's body, and the rescue plan is a go. But when Scott heads home, the feds snap Hank and Hope. Meanwhile, Birch is on the hunt for the Pym tech
and... You got it.
And he's taken the ex-con captive. Cue Louise explaining montage. Scott busts out the Pims and it's act 3 action time. Multi-size car chase. Massive Hello Kitty pez. Ghost and ant team throw down and Hank retrieves Mommy Pym. Things look grim when Birch escapes with Mini Lab, but massive Scott to the rescue and then Hope to his rescue when he passes out in the San Fran Bay. The parent Pims escape the quantum realm and Mommy Pims heals jittery ghost.
Stop!
With Mini Lab. Oh, no! Oh, I'm so out of practice.
You've got a new technique, though. This whole following the pencil.
Did it do me any good, though, did it?
You said squat lang.
I did. Squat
lang's my favourite. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of apt, because he's an ant.
Yeah.
He's, like, tiny.
Oh, I had 2 lines left.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us them?
All right, go on. So.
Okay. Normal.
Normal
deep
speed.
Breath. We're fine.
I'll do the line as well that I got cut off on. It says, the parent Pims escape the quantum realm and Mommy Pym heals jittery ghosts with mystical glowy powers. The bad guys get tased. Scott makes it home in time to flirt with Wu and happy ending montage time.
A solo clap. I mean, right. It's usually more effective when there's 2 of us here, but you can just have my 1 solo clap.
You can see that what I get out of the rhythm of doing it, I felt like I really had it nailed at the end of season 1. So yeah, I've got to get back into the... I think I could have done that one better. I stumbled quite a bit.
How's a minute for you?
You know, I like it. I like the challenge, having something new. It's hard because, like, I had so many other kind of... like. So the way I write them, I kind of write lines as the movie goes on.
Okay.
And then when I put it together, then I cut out, like, the extra stuff. But the problem is I get, like, really attached to, like, certain, like, lines or certain references. And it's... I mean, I really should be more ruthless as, you know, writing succinctly is also... my day job. I just get really attached to it.
I think there's a sentence near the end that's like, Papa Pim's Pez playtime.
I love a bit of alliteration. And I like the big words too, you know, Louise's explaining montage, you know, resulting in capture and exposition. Anyway, so far, I'm digging the 1 minute format. I like the challenge. I think it's more in keeping with the kind of pod style we've got going. Listeners, let me know what you think.
Oh, let me just... I turned my phone on. I thought, oh, you know, I'll turn it off for silent so that my timer will beep.
Oh, right.
But I did a stopwatch.
All right.
So it got to a minute, and I was like, oh, it's not going to make a sound. I've got to stop it. Now I'm getting text messages. Great.
All right.
So...
cast time.
I'm going to talk about the cast. This is something we usually do on this podcast. straight up.
Go for it.
Ant-Man.
Yay!
Paul Rudd.
Woohoo!
Can't go wrong with Paul Rudd.
I've missed him.
I think this is... he's really settled into this character of Ant-Man. I like it.
Yeah.
Evangeline Lilly as the Wasp.
As the Wasp.
Or Hope Van Dyne.
Yeah.
Liking
the new hair. I think she's like loosened up a little bit.
Way bigger role in this movie.
Way bigger
like,
role.
Like, why didn't they just make her a wasp in the first movie?
I know.
It's like, great. In the first movie, she had such a 1D character.
She said it.
She was like flat. And then in this movie, she's got a suit. And
personality.
She can fight. And she sasses people. And she can fly. And it's like, what? She hasn't had a story. Like, she's had a story.
Mm.
But she hasn't, like, had character development.
Yeah.
She's had, like, character acceleration.
Yeah.
It's gone from 1 or 2 to 100 miles an hour.
Totally.
Michael Peña.
Yay!
Back for this movie.
Woo!
Sonny. I didn't know this nice guy's name. I recognized him.
Yeah.
Walton Goggins.
Okay.
I will never forget that name. It's incredible.
He's definitely a sort of like, oh, hey, it's that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's exactly one of those. And when it was on IMDb, I was just looking now to see what his name was. I was like, I wonder what his name is. I must recognise what his name is. It comes up Walton Goggins. Never, ever heard of him before.
Amazing.
Seen him in some stuff, yeah. I guess.
I mean, I guess we'll talk a little bit more about him as a villain in a minute. But I think he did a good job of what he was given.
Yeah, I mean, secondary villain.
yeah,
totally. Or almost tertiary villain.
Yes.
Or even fourth place. I could think of, well, not villain, but, you know, antagonist.
Okay. So you've got Ghost, you've got Doctor...
But the biggest antagonist of this movie is time.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not being stupid, but, like, it's one of those movies where it's against the clock.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah,
I mean, it's not like we've got to get this done. It's like, fuck, the clock. And for every character, the reason that they want to do things quick is different as well.
Yeah.
So you've got the Van Dynes trying to get back...
Mama
Van Dyne.
Yeah. Pim. They're the Pims, man. It's Hope Van Dyne, Hank Pym. Actually, I wonder if she's taken Pim's name back. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Isn't it Janet Van Dyne?
Is she the Van Dyne? Yeah, she seems like someone who wouldn't necessarily take on her husband's name.
So they're trying to get her back
from
the big tube. and the tube's gonna close.
Yeah.
So they're racing against that. Scott Lang, Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, his time is all about his ankle monitor.
Yeah.
He does care about their struggle, but his rush is this ankle monitor shit.
I like that. I thought that was a good reoccurring theme. Like the whole, you know, he's so close to being done with house arrest, getting to like hang out with his daughter in the outside again.
But then even not just them, Ava, Ghost, played by Hannah John Kamen.
Yeah. Interesting. I liked her more in the rewatch, I've got to say.
Time again. Yeah. She's about to disintegrate. Mm. So she's got to do this thing quick. The only one who doesn't have a time issue is Sonny. Mm. So he's kind of just...
Ah, well, you say that. But there is a point in the film where he says to like an underling or the FBI guy who's in collusion with him, he's very much like, if Ghost gets that tech first, I'm never going to see it again. Like, I'm never going to get to use it. So he's called so it, he's like, racing. I got to get it before the freak does. Yeah.
God damn. See, time is the biggest antagonist in this movie. And then I'd say the secondary antagonist is Ghost.
Yeah.
And then the tertiary antagonist is the feds.
Yeah. Above Sonny? Yeah.
Debatable.
Yeah.
Debatable. But the tertiary antagonist is... Getting this whole... This is just plot now. Getting the building back is not an antagonist. It's a plot. Come on. But, yeah, he's low down the ranks.
Yeah.
You know, his storyline is really... He just meddles. He's definitely just a bit of a meddler. So, yeah. Still got plenty of people to go through. We've got T.I.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
We've got Maggie, played by Judy Greer.
Oh, yeah. Yes, excellent. Excellent. I love... That little family.
Oh, yeah.
So much. Like, how they're just totally in Scott's corner now, and they have, like, this great, like, family dynamic going. I loved every time she and her husband, what's his name?
His name, and I didn't know his name.
Yeah.
I knew it was played by Bobby Cannavale,
yes.
But I didn't know that his name was Paxton. I just must have forgotten that.
Totally.
Paxton, Maggie, and Cassie.
Yeah.
Nice, lovely little family.
Cassie.
Sorry for Scott, but... he seems to fit in
really
well.
I love how they've sort of adopted him, but oh, Cassie.
You got Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, underused.
Underused.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne is such a great actor. And like to be fair, I wouldn't necessarily have wanted that character to have more screen time.
Would you like him to have had more screen space?
I would have liked to have hit. I kind of thought the first time I saw it, when he was making reference to how he was part of the Gargantuan project, there was going to be a point where he and Scott were going to have to duke it out huge size. That would have been so much better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all up for 40-foot Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, that would have been.
I'm in.
Sweet.
Might get that in the future.
Yeah.
Let's not rule that out. Absolutely, yeah. We've got Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah. What a weird character.
As... Mommy Van Dyne.
Yeah.
Back from the quantum realm.
Quantum realm with really a descript strange Healy powers.
Oh, yeah.
I like how she's come back for the quantum realm as this sort of like trippy hippie quantum lady.
If you'd have been in the quantum realm for the time that she's been in there.
Yeah. I mean, she's figured out how to make clothes. Like, where did that like awesome shawl thing come from?
There's a lot of questions about her time in the quantum room.
Yeah. Although I gotta say, one of my favorite moments of Mommy Van Dyne was actually when she was using Scott's body to communicate with with Hank and Hope. That was good.
It was like a sexy dream.
Yeah.
But
with Paul Rudd as Michelle. That is a brilliant combination. Those are two sexy icons there. Paul Rudd, Michelle Pfeiffer, put him in a sexy sandwich.
Great. You see, I'm all for Paul Rudd being seen as like, you know, sex icon of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because he does a lot for the common man.
Yeah, he does.
Do you know what I mean? People in my situation, if you've ever seen, oh God, what's the stupid movie that is it? With tall guy. What's it called? I Love You, Man.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's making
the
little tray of cocktails and bringing it in, and they're all like, he's such a fucking loser. It's like, come on. That's like the cutest thing you could possibly do. He's just like, I'm going to look after you. Okay, he needs friends, but still. Paul Rudd. Love him. Love pretty much anything he's in.
Likewise.
So I'm very, very happy with his continued presence in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Although he wasn't in Infinity War.
Yeah, like I said, we missed him.
Lame as shit.
Yeah, we've got to talk about, well, let's come on to that later, because there's...
Well, I mean, there's not really much else to talk about this movie other than the end credits scene. Or the start of credits and the post credits. The post credits is troubling.
Oof.
It's troublingly lacks continuation with the movie.
Yeah.
But we'll come on to that in a little bit. Finally, on the list that I've got here, I know I've missed a couple off, but Michael Douglas...
Yeah.
Returns.
I mean, scenery chewer. Michael Scenery Chewer Douglas.
Do you think this movie misses Yellow Jacket?
Ooh, no. No, worst businessman ever with his goop gun and crazy eyes.
Do you think this movie misses a goop gun? Do you think it misses like a really sinister villain?
Well, I think I can remember having like a big issue with there wasn't enough use of the goop gun in the other one. I don't know. I think Ghost is she has enough elements to her to feel a bit like a threat. Like her motivation makes sense. Like she's literally just coming apart, so she needs this tech. It's clear that's like really played on her mind,
and they do that really well. The whole her like phasing in and
that
out.
That was cool. I like that.
Looks great. There's a couple of times where it looks a bit lame, but by and large, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think, this movie did just such a good job with the visuals.
Mm.
Like, as you know, we were impressed with what they did in the first Ant-Man. I think they obviously thought to themselves like, okay, we've got to like raise the stakes. Like, how can we make this like bring in more about like the quantum realm and shrinking and embiggening things. I don't know. I think I can't really imagine like what place a more antagonistic villain would have had. Like the Yellow Jacket, he was just so crazy, and there was just no understanding or appreciation of his motivation really, other than just to be like evil.
Do you think Sonny could have been a bit more evil?
Maybe, but I think you're right. I think his primary role was to be kind of like a meddler, to kind of tie.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I'm going to call the FBI. Yeah. I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm going to be places that I shouldn't be. Yeah.
Although he is responsible for giving us another amazing Louise explanatory.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Louise and an explanatory montage.
He...
The whole truth serum thing I found hilarious.
But I like at the end when Ghost pops up in that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
That's great. And I think this movie does have quite a few nice montage bits.
Yes.
I know you're a fan.
Totally.
It's got a highlight.
Probably the house arrest montage.
Yeah,
was my favorite.
Right at the start.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think, okay, so I'm going to come on to it.
Go for
it's
it.
It's just distracting me.
All right.
So this house arrest thing.
Yeah.
Final post credits when the ant is playing.
The drums. Yeah.
Okay, so...
I was going to throw this out here because I think a lot of our listeners maybe did not pick up on the fact that we usually do a post-credit credit analysis after we have our post-credits. But I agree. I think this one, we need to jump right in. So go for it.
So there's the final one with the ants in the house alone.
Yeah.
Okay. It's playing the drum set.
Hate that.
And we learn in that the earlier in the movie that the ant is programmed to follow Scott's actions around the house.
Yeah.
So when Scott returns to the house mid-heist sort of sequence to kind of be sat at the drum set,
yeah,
where's the ant then? Like, the FBI are there. They're there for a significant amount of time because they take his tag off.
Yeah.
So it's not just be like, oh, right, you're here, we'll take your tag off and leave. Like, they must have sat down, done some paperwork, like, explained to him, taking the tag off. What was the ant doing in the house at that time? And if you can say, oh, well, it was out shopping or something, you know, if it was just, if they'd removed it for some reason, who removed it?
Yeah.
Because Hope and Hank were busy. Mm. And if they... If it was, like, busy, why did it come back to the... If it had been removed somehow, why did it come back to the house?
Yeah.
That ant is problematic, I'm telling you.
That whole Ant-Man... I remember... Oh, God. I remember when I saw... When I saw the trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, I was kind of looking forward to it because I was like, okay, I think this is going to occupy a good space kind of after the, you know, emotional trauma that was Infinity War. I was like, I could see how this could be like a fun, lighthearted thing. And then in the trailer, it had a clip of like the ant playing drums. And I was just like, no, no.
So it wasn't quite. So you see, I sort of thought that about the trailer when I saw the giant Pez thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, people chuckled at the Thomas the Tank Engine bit. So what they're going to do is...
Hello, Kitty.
Everything from pop culture is going to be giant.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the trailers for that dumb Adam Sandler movie. It might have been an Adam Sandler movie where it's like loads of video games.
Oh, Jesus,
everything
yeah.
Everything was giant.
I haven't seen it. Pixels. I think it was maybe one of the worst movies.
I was like, oh, no, this looks terrible.
Yeah.
And I saw this giant Pez dispenser float and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Well, that kind of makes me think of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when he fights his dad with like the big Pac-Man.
I hated that. That was terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Stupid. Go away. I'm sure we've spoken about this in our Guardians of the Galaxy 2 review, which you can go back to and listen to on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else. But that was dumb.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree with that. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think if of all the movies in the MCU, the Ant-Man movies do feel like the place for that kind of jokey, like, let's put in some pop culture stuff here. Because, it's such a ridiculous premise. And I think one thing I really liked about this movie, and particularly on the rewatch, is I did really notice how much they were kind of poking fun at themselves a little bit. Mm. Particularly the scene, like, right at the end when Scott's trying to call an ant and they keep getting eaten by the seagulls.
God.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then he finally gets an ant. He names it Antonio Banderas. And then it dies and he, you know, screams out Antonio Banderas' name the same way he did Anthony. And Anthony was played to more of like, oh, this is actually tragic, where this was clearly like, remember when we pretended it was tragic that Ant got killed?
Yeah. I think, you know, as much as I ripped on the Pez dispenser, when it came to the movie, though, it looked really good.
Yeah.
I wasn't bothered about that. And actually, some of the more pop culture reference bits in the movie I thought were played really well.
Yeah.
Like the Hot Wheels suitcase.
That was great.
Jeez.
Did you have one of those?
I never had, like, not for Hot Wheels, not for, like, miniature cars, but I'd have killed for that. You know what I mean? Like, open it up, a wheel of cars.
I'm pretty sure that was a real thing. Like a proper real Hot Wheels
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's... It looked great,
yeah.
And the way that it was implemented in the movie was like, oh, they've not just embiggened something to look flashy, good on CGI. It's like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
The building that shrinks is a little bit too far, but still good. I mean, you know, it's, as you said, it's the sort of, if it was a Captain America movie, and they were chasing around someone who's nicked a building
and
it's shrunken, come on.
Yeah,
but it's an Ant-Man movie, so it kind of makes sense. It's got a jokier tone. Mm. The threat, much like the first movie, the stakes are not too high.
Mm.
You know, it's serious for the characters. Their personal stakes, it is. But with both of these movies, what's the most that goes wrong? In this one, it's a personal struggle. Mm. If this goes wrong for the heroes, then, well, they don't get to save their family member.
Yeah.
But other than that, the world's not going to end.
Yeah.
So you know, which is quite a nice break, because every other movie just accelerates straight to, oh, the world's going to blow up.
Yeah.
So what we've got to do is stop the world from blowing up.
Yeah.
Or something else is going to blow the world up. And that's just, it's a lot.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think also it was, so if you think about the kind of MCU fan space that was kind of going on at the time that this movie came out. So I don't know, how did you feel about going, so if the last movie you saw from the MCU was Infinity War. How did you feel about this being the next one that you saw?
I think it was smart for them to put it out like this, because people were still riding that, oh, I love Marvel movies wave. It's like, oh yeah, Marvel movies. Let's go watch another one of those. And I think it just kind of, it probably worked well for them because people were still high off of Infinity War. People probably went to see this. I know in the UK, the dates were shuffled around really awkwardly.
Yeah.
So I'd be surprised if it didn't do... I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't do too well in the UK. I don't know any stats around that. But it was moved here for the World Cup, I believe.
Such a mistake. Yeah, it was at the same time as the World Cup.
I know. And I know the World Cup is for the whole world, but come on, America don't care about football, soccer.
They weren't in it this
so,
year.
Yeah, they weren't even in it. So I think... it was probably right to move it, but at the same time, I don't know if that caused more confusion.
Yeah.
I didn't know when it was out.
No, it really passed me. I think we saw it like, God, maybe like 3 weeks after it came out or something. It was after the World Cup.
Because like I'd built anticipation, like all the online anticipation was for its US release.
Yes.
And then when it came to the UK release, it was like, oh yeah, it's out in cinemas.
Yeah. It's really confusing. If you're listening, Marvel Instagram. So there's like the main Instagram for Marvel, which I follow, but everything they do on there is all sort of US based advertising, and there isn't a UK equivalent. That's why I got really confused when we were originally planning a date to do this. It was talking about like, oh, that it's going to be on DVD home release, you know, this date. Nowhere did it say in that in the US, and I was so confused. So yeah, that
and
was,
then we
that
came,
really
we're like, we're going to record it.
Yeah, can't find it.
Can't watch it. But the UK release is Monday. Well, today.
Yeah, yes, today. We're recording this in advance.
Or if you're listening to this podcast after December the 3rd, it was yesterday, or it's in the past. It's already been released in the UK by the time you're listening to this podcast. So that's great, you know.
Yeah.
We can now watch it right in time for Christmas.
Exactly.
And I'm sure many people will be excitedly running down the stairs on Christmas morning, tearing open their gifts to find they've got Ant-Man and the Wasp on Blu-ray. It's going to be, but you know, Hot Wheels.
Yeah, they're probably making a mint off this.
Absolute. Maybe not off of this. They're probably making a mint anyway.
That's
but
true.
Maybe if you package the DVD with a Hot Wheels. So, you know, you get the ring. It's a ring of cars.
Yeah.
It's like a steel book. And you get a ring of cars, and the disc is in the middle.
That's so smart.
And it's like, whoa. I don't know. Marvel should hire me. Or Hot Wheels should hire me as their Christmas gimmick ideasman. Yeah. no more loop the loops this year. We're just doing cars and steel books and DVDs. Product placement. Anything else to gripe about this movie? Because I think we've done an even amount of shitting on it and enjoyment.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could agree that this does it. Like, if we were still doing the countdown, if we were ranking in this, I think it would probably fall below middle tier, just because there's so many really.
Do you think it'd go higher or lower than Ant-Man 1?
I would put it higher than Ant-Man 1, to be honest.
Okay.
Mostly down to like Hope having such a bigger role in it. I thought the action scenes were just that much better. The two of them fighting together is fantastic. Mm. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that it felt a little bit more tongue-in-cheek. I think the first one, they knew they were taking like a bit of a risk. This is weird. And now they're like, yeah, we got you. We're just going to let this weird theme continue to play out.
Yeah. And I like that they didn't... I think these movies feel right that they don't sort of intertwine with the overall story.
Definitely.
Which is kind of cool. Because they're just silly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think it works really well for... Because there are... So some movies like The Winter Soldier or Civil War or like the first Guardians, like I like sit down and like I like watch those. Like they take a lot of energy actually because I'm just like really watching them.
Yeah.
Whereas this, like, it works perfectly well as sort of like that cash if, you know, if it finds its way on Netflix or something like that and it's on. Like, I felt bad because like Tom really wanted to watch this one with me. And it just didn't work out that way. But like, I would say, yeah, that'd be a perfect movie for us just on a Tuesday night. We've got nothing to do.
Mm.
Let's watch it. Fills that space.
Yeah, it's a nice little movie.
Yeah.
It's not a taxing one to watch. It's got some funny bits. I think even if you've not really seen Marvel.
Definitely.
Some of my friends are working through Marvel movies at the moment. We give them the hit list, but they're like, they've seen Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, well, all I've seen is Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Those are the weirdest ones.
It's like, okay, what should we watch next? Maybe the, I don't know. So I've just given them a list, which strips out the Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
So, because we've...
Not even the first one.
Oh, yeah, get rid of that.
Wow.
Because, I know they don't like Tony Stark.
Okay, yeah.
So...
Yeah, you don't need those then.
But I think we've discussed quite a bit since this, how there's like, there's two Marvel Cinematic Universe, like, strands.
Yeah.
Because the Tony's personal battle storyline.
Yeah.
And there's the big shiny golden glove storyline. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of follow a different set of movies for each. The crossover, there's important touch points in each, but the two storylines, they're probably going to come to a head in Infinity War Part 2, if that ever comes out.
Oh, God.
But the two storylines can remain separate, at least for the first two phases of the Marvel definitely. Universe. So, yeah, binned off the Iron Man movies, binned off Thor and Thor 2, because you kind of just get a general sense of Thor in Avengers and kind of start with Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yeah.
Because that's your first, like, proper Infinity Stone introduction. Mm. Even though it's not explicitly labelled, the Tesseract, like, hits movie after movie after that. So it's important you know about the shiny blue cube.
Definitely.
But yeah, I just see that they're like, oh, well, where does Ant-Man fit into all of this? I'm like, kind of doesn't. Yeah. Aside from he gets very, very big out of nowhere in Civil War.
Yeah.
And then in this movie, he gets bigger yet again.
Oh, even bigger. That was quite funny.
So how are they going to, like, but this is the difficulty now. They've painted themselves into a corner.
Mm.
He's been as little as he can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't get any smaller. He's been quantum realmed.
Yes.
And now he's been big and then super massive.
So big he passes out.
So, yeah, like how big will he get in the next Ant-Man, if there is a next Ant-Man movie?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like what frame of reference did he compare him against? Like, will he fight, I don't know, Godzilla or something?
Yeah. Who knows? Sky's the limit. With the Ambigator, apparently.
Yeah. I wonder if the next movie he's going to get so big that he's going to pass out from a lack of oxygen.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or we see, you know, like in Ant-Man, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Where he flies up and freezes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, makes that little quip to Obadiah Stane, or he's like, how did you resolve the icing?
Yeah.
I wonder whether he's going to get so big that the top half, that his head freezes.
Oh, or those really cold, like those really cold mornings when like the inside of your nose freezes when you stand up. Yeah.
That'd be cool. Marvel, if you're listening.
So I want to add just one, if we've sort of covered.
Well, before we move on then,
yeah.
Just while we're talking about size.
Yes.
Fuck. That scene where he's like, in the high school.
Oh yeah, that was so funny.
No, I hate it. Why is he a weird size? He's such a strange size.
It's such a strange size. It's so awkward. I loved that scene. I properly laughed aloud in that scene, even on the rewatch when like the thing breaks and he's sort of just like shifting. Like he's not like a proper kid size or anything. It's so strange.
But it's just because like proportionally,
yeah,
he's changed. Do you know what I mean? It's weird.
It's all wrong. Yeah, it's so strange. Although I did love it when he crawled back into the van and Hank offers him like a juice box and string cheese, and he's like, "Well, have you got those?"
Oh no, that whole bit. Don't like that whole bit. I like the funny jokes about him keeping the suit.
Yeah,
being on the trophy.
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff. I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed the little trophy scene at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, that maze.
Yeah.
I want it so bad.
That's really really cool. But yeah, no, the size thing. I don't. Where's he gonna go next? Because they've done that. That is like the super medium.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if this is t-shirt sizes, they've done extra small. They've done small. Mm. They've done medium. They've done large and extra large. Yeah. We're gonna be
XXL.
In some big boy pants next, unless it's gonna be the Wasp that gets.
Oh yeah, we haven't seen her big yet.
No.
Interesting. Yeah.
Same, maybe it'd be the twin biggers.
Twin biggers. I would still like to see two colossal beings fight. Maybe Hope and Scott get into a fight, duke it out, size of buildings. I would totally see that.
You know what? This is totally weird, and I know we don't often talk about current things happening in the comic books, but in the Avengers comics book, the Avengers comics books at the minute.
Yeah.
The Celestials came out. Celestials are like super massive. And they're one of the things that happened is they drank some ancient Asgard potion. And Ghost Rider, Iron Man, She-Hulk, and Thor became like the size of the Empire State Building. But not just them, like Thor's hammer like embiggened with him and everything. It was totally weird. It only happened for an issue, and then it started to like wear off, and they're like, "Oh, we're shrinking again." But it was just odd, like really like thick, like just so odd.
That's
just
so weird
humans, like massive. Well, not humans, Asgardian.
Yeah.
The Thor one creeped me out the most because, like, at least Iron Man, it was kind of in a suit.
Yeah.
So you didn't really. The proportion was huge, but it wasn't weird. But Ghost Rider.
Oh, and that like, would be strange.
She-Hulk as well. Like, yeah, okay, it was strange that she was massive.
Yeah.
But when, like, you're looking at a cartoon of Hulk or She-Hulk anyway, like, the muscles are already, popping.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not weird. Giant Thor. Not. not for me. It looks so rubbery. It's weird. But yeah, I think embiggening things seems to be becoming a trend in.
I'm into it.
In Marvel, so I'm into it. Sorry, so you were going to say something not related to size.
Not related to size. I was just going to say, if we feel we sort of covered our own opinions of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yep. Just a question. I'm really, spoilers again, but I'm glad this isn't going to be a reoccurring segment. But
why? Is two people, is my company not good enough, Anna?
Well, I was just going to ask, do you think Martin would have liked this movie?
I think, oh, wow. Do I think? Would Martin have liked this movie? I think he would have done.
Yeah.
I think he might have thought that it was a little... Some bits might have been a little bit lame. Mm. I don't think he'd have cared for Ghost as a villain.
Okay.
Villains
are a bit of a bugbear for him, aren't they?
Yeah, I think he'd have been... What is she up to?
I think he would have liked her more than Sunny.
Yeah... Yeah, I agree with that once again. And I think he'd have been heavily critical of Michelle Pfeiffer coming out with magic powers.
Yeah.
With the new hippiness.
Yeah.
And
like the whole quantum realm he wouldn't have liked.
Oh, yeah. So, we're talking about 9/10 of this movie here. But I think he'd have liked the jokes.
Yeah.
Because that's something we pretty much all agreed on in the first Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
And I think... He'd have liked the post-credits.
Yeah, he would. I also think he would have hated the big ants, I think.
Yes.
The ants served like a proper purpose in this film a lot. Like they were huge sort of like, what's that phrase? Where it's just like the thing to kind of just like get you out of a situation. Like the Deus Ex Machina like over and over again. Like, oh, Anton and Altoid.
He said it with like accent.
Proper accent.
Yeah. Deus Ex Machina.
I'm so pretentious. But it was like, no, ants and Altoid did. Oh no, ants have chewed through the wiring. I think he would have had an issue with the ants. Okay. That was the thing, he just couldn't bend his mind around.
How do you think he'd have felt about the giant building?
Oh, I think he would have had a lot of like technical engineering questions. Like, how do they flush the toilets and where is all the power coming from?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What? Well, no, you can assume that there must be some sort of generator.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can assume there's maybe, to be fair, it doesn't look like they use it for the toilets much.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Maybe they just take a dump in the quantum zone.
Yeah.
Throw it down the tube. It's like, oh, where does all the rubbish go?
Yeah.
Just throw it down, see what happens. It gets really, really tiny.
Really tiny.
Maybe that's what actually, Michelle Pfeiffer's been living off of.
Oh, Jesus. Is that a bad, like, trash issue, though? You're just shrinking.
Maybe the quantum realm is the solution to a lot of the world's problems.
Yeah.
At the minute. Maybe if we could just shrink everything as small as possible. Or just fire it in at the quantum realm and get rid of it.
And then eventually it would bust out of the quantum realm and, like, you know, our garbage would become animated with weird glowy powers.
Oh, yeah, well, because what it'd be is, because the quantum realm, someone would argue that it's probably, like, all around us.
Yeah.
Like, we've put so much trash in there that actually it starts not just filling up the Earth, but it starts seeping out of reality itself.
Jesus.
So just like life is just seeping trash.
Yeah.
Because of how packed we've made this quantum realm. I remember reading Absolute Crackpot. It might not be crackpot. Maybe it's actually properly researched science.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't give you a source. But it was someone who sort of theorized that if we could genetically alter people to shrink us, but proportionally shrink us probably to Paul Rudd size in Ant-Man in the high school, then we'd be able to like live sustainably with the current population.
Are you sure you didn't just see a trailer for Downsizing with Matt Damon?
What's Downsizing with Matt Damon?
It's a movie about like...
This was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It's because they were like, you know, one Mars bar is two people.
All right. I mean, that's entirely what this movie is about.
Really?
Yeah, basically. It came out last year, I think. And it's just like, so it's all about like people, they get paid to do this procedure, basically. And you get shrunk down to like, it's like this big. And they're really tiny communities where you can like, you know, live off. Yeah, yeah. Did you not see that trailer?
No, I mean, this. No, I think at sort of this time last year, we were gearing up to watch.
Yeah, it was only Marvel movies.
Like, the movies that I missed last year from doing this
too.
Podcast. This podcast would give you the notion that Marvel movies are my favorite movies. But I love Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see Solo in the cinema.
Happily,
half of that was because people were like, it's going to be shit.
Wasn't.
And I was like, I think it's going to be good. But enough people were like, nah, it's going to be shit. But I thought, you know what? I've watched 7 movies in the past day.
Yeah.
Let's give this one a skip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I skipped it. It's incredible.
It's good.
I'm
sure it will get another cinema screening at some point.
Maybe. I mean, Solo 2, if that's happening. Duo.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Definitely.
But, oh, God, yeah. So you think Martin would have scored it?
I think we could have convinced him to say it should stay.
Okay.
But it definitely wouldn't be in his top 5.
I don't think he'd have had the vitriolic distaste that he did for Doctor Strange.
Agreed.
I think he'd have seen the positives.
I agree.
And on a second watch, I see the positives as well.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange,
I know,
got rid of us.
Oh.
He was gone. So I think we'd have convinced him to keep it.
Yeah.
And I would like to keep it as well.
Likewise. It can stay.
Oh, I've just thought of another problem.
What?
Right. So you know when there's the gigantic... What? You know when he's gigantic and comes out of the water and he hides at the building? And he's hidden at the building?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then deflates.
And yeah. But how does Scott Lang get tiny?
Ah, that's a good question. He must have... He would have been like naked for a little bit. He would have had to get embiggen, take off the suit, set it up, and then have Hope throw one of the thingies at him to ensmallen him. That's what I think.
So you're saying at some point Scott Lang must have been
20 stories tall.
20 stories tall and naked. But then why did he crawl out of the building? Did we see him come out of the door of the building?
So they were No, because then, like, they were... So they'd propped it up there. And then, like, I'm pretty sure the next time we see him is...
I thought he'd come out of the window. So I thought he'd come out of the suit at the back, got into the window of a building.
Ah.
Gone down.
Okay. Maybe he had, like...
And then come out the door.
Yeah, maybe he had, like, an in smaller... Like, he kind of wiggles out, you know, when you, like, pull your arms out of a jacket. So you've got, like...
So he's in the middle.
Yeah, he's in the middle.
He's got his arms in the middle. Yeah. Okay.
He squishes and then smaller against him. And then he has to climb up the suit out the window. What do you want from me, Dan?
I just want to, like... the suit and him changing size is, like, connected.
Yeah, I agree. What can I say? I don't think this movie would hold up against the rigorousness of a scientific peer review.
Would... The Marvel Universe.
Probably not.
Who knows? It's a crazy universe. We know that. And it's now half the size. Oh. Serious. Yeah, you forget that this movie takes place right after half of the whole universe was decimated.
Should we talk about the post-credits or should we wait till our traditional after-credits, post-credits talk?
I think we should probably wait.
Okay.
Given... As we want to set the scene
and
bring people's attention back to our business as usual activity.
Agreed.
Which is A Marvelous Lunch Break,
Season
2.
Yay!
Which is really exciting. So we've been able to agree on what we're going to do in Season 2. And I'm so, so happy to confirm that it's not rewatching all 19 movies in the Marvel Universe for a second year running and reviewing them again. That would have been excruciating. And I don't know if we'd have been able to convince Martin to come back for Season 2 if that was the case. So we threw some ideas around. We threw around the idea of Marvel Classics.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got loads of great...
Old school.
I mean, great is... You've got a lot of movies that were made. You've got Fantastic Fours. You've got Daredevil, Elektra, Punisher. You've got like three Punisher movies. So we could have gone through the Marvel classics.
Yeah, the way original Hulk, the 1980-something.
You've got the 2003...
Ang Lee.
Hulk. Some Marvel classics. But that's not what we're going to do. We discussed Spider-Man.
Yep.
We thought, let's bring it home. Spider-Man. Six movies. You know, Far From Home.
Yeah.
Comes out next year. What great way to build up to it than watching all Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to do that. then we thought, how about we do DC?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't consider that for a single second. But... What we've settled on is, in 2019, we're going to be watching and reviewing and talking about, Anna?
All the X-Men movies.
As if you didn't see that coming.
Yay!
So, we're going to start off with X-Men 1. I mean, I think it's just called X-Men.
Yeah.
Then we're going to watch X-Men 2. Then X-Men 3.
Last Stand, yeah.
The Last Stand. Then, we're going to take a little trip over to Wolverine's world.
With Mr. Hugh Jackman.
Watch X-Men Wolverine.
Yep.
Then X-Men The Wolverine. I'm doing this all from memory. I'm quite impressed. Then finish off his trilogy with Logan.
Yeah.
Then we're going to bring it all back to the main X-Men franchise. And we're going to be watching X-Men... Reunited.
First class. Good thing I'm here.
Then X-Men second.
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future second class. So we've got, I know these. We've got X-Men first class, X-Men Days of Future class. We've got then X-Men Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse.
Then X-Men Dark.
Phoenix.
So is there not a movie there that I've missed?
No, and we've got this all properly written down somewhere. But we're
great.
So we are watching down to the release of Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix
in June. Yeah,
sounds scary.
Yeah,
and then packaged up neatly with all of that. That is what makes up Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men Season 2.
Oh yeah,
easy to remember. But packaged in with that, we're not going to give up on our homeboys.
Heck no.
And girls.
Our OG Marvel heroes.
We're going to still talk about Captain Marvel.
Yep.
We're going to do a special for Captain Marvel.
Hell yeah.
We're going to do another special for Avengers in Infinity War 2 or whatever it may be called.
Yep.
And then we're going to do another special for Spider-Man.
Yes.
We're also going to do the usual wrap-up episode, all of that fancy stuff, and we will be releasing that from the start of the new year.
Yes.
So we are about to go home, not to say respective homes, and hit the big old play button on X-Men, which is going to be really exciting, especially over the winter period, snuggling down on the sofa with a little cup of whatever hot drink you like.
Avoiding the family.
Avoiding
people. I do my podcast job.
Sorry, I've got to watch a movie. Would you like to watch the X-Men with me? Oh, yeah. Are you hanging out tonight, mate? Sorry, I'm watching X-Men The Last Stand.
Oh, God.
Which, you know, should be exciting. I'm really, really excited to watch some of these movies.
Yeah. Less
Admission,
excited for some.
I have not seen X-Men Apocalypse.
Ooh. I am very curious for that rewatch for me. I'm super excited. I know we really went back and forth about whether or not to do Spider-Man and the Countdown to Far From Home. And it was a big debate, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the main reasons we decided not to do Spider-Man was the story wouldn't be complete yet, because after Far From Home, there's another one. And the Far From Home has like so much hanging on it for what comes out of the next Avengers.
Yeah.
It felt like doing more contained
We'd spend the whole time going, well, you know, this is really good, depending on whatever happens in Avengers 2.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, yeah, the Tobey Maguire run is kind of self-contained.
Sure.
Yeah, the Andrew Garfield run is terrible. and, you know, the new stuff we're
fantastic.
All really excited about.
Yeah.
Tom Holland is my Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be able to talk about their full
yeah,
journey.
Definitely.
Okay, so,
X-Men,
you know,
does this.
Maybe season four?
Three, four, we'll see.
Yeah, okay, 2020, then probably won't be bringing a third movie out that quick, but who knows, he might die, so.
perish the thought.
He does disintegrate into dust. So, look, season two, we're really excited about it. If you don't like X-Men movies, doesn't matter. Because we probably won't like them either. So you don't even have to watch them. We'll give you a minute review at the start.
Yeah,
we'll give you a little spice of what's going on. We'll tell you who's in it. And then we'll talk about how good or bad the movie is. As usual, saying whether it stays or goes. And it's years since I've seen some of these movies.
Me too.
It's going to be great. As well, Martin will be back.
Yay!
With his opinions.
It's salty attitude.
It's awesome. I'm very excited for Martin to rejoin us in the chair. And we just cannot wait, really, to do this. It was a joy doing this podcast for you all this year?
This year.
Last season.
Yeah.
So if this is your first time, or if you're a long-time listener, or if you're a relatively new listener, you sit somewhere in between that, hit that subscribe/follow button, whatever. We'll be putting out a new episode in the new year. And if you've got any feedback, any reviews, anything like that, you can find us on the internet. Anna, where can listeners find you?
On Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
And I'm on Instagram and Twitter, at DVM Preston. Martin is at Martin Loves, so you can follow him in anticipation. That'd be great. And that's it for today.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you very much, as always. It's been a wild ride. This is the first of our specials.
It doesn't,
it's free of seasons. It's like we're floating in the quantum realm of the podcast world. It's great. So we will see you again in the new year. Have a wonderful Christmas, everyone.
Indeed.
Enjoy it, whatever you celebrate, whatever you do. And thanks for today.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Post-credits.
Oh, baby. I mean, the post-credits were more or less... Well, the first post-credit was more or less worth the price of admission, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're agreed. Yeah. It's mental. It's crazy. Like, it's completely mental.
There's so much to unpack in it as well. Like, I've literally written down one of the things that a character says. So, first off, we've got Scott going to collect quantum healing particles. There's no way healing particles weren't introduced for them to, like, not play a part at some point. So you've got that.
Quantum. So that's why. Do you think Michelle Pfeiffer is going to be the key to...
Maybe. I kind of hope not, but something is definitely going to come out of those.
Some quantum.
Her powers. And yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And then, so I've written down something that Janet Van Dyne says right before Scott goes into the quantum realm, and they all get dusty. She says, "Don't get sucked into a time vortex. We won't be able to save you." So, like, that's apparently different from just being in the quantum realm. A time vortex.
So they're, like, confident now with their mini machine.
Yeah.
I like how quickly they were able to, like, scale down.
Yeah.
Like, it worked once, now we can make a briefcase size. Yeah. but, like, we saw that with Iron Man, where he's like, oh, I can make a briefcase suit now. But his suit was, like, the size of a person. This needed a building.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, we can only go in at a very specific point in time. This was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just pocket tunnel. It's fine. So why? What do you think?
Well, I mean...
Time vortex, what's it going to do?
I don't know, but I feel like... So Scott's stuck there now. I mean, that's, you know, a whole other thing. But I feel like that specific mention of a time vortex, that's not something we've heard before, at least in the context of Ant-Man films. Like, the quantum realm has always been like, oh, don't go into the quantum realm, you'll get stuck there.
But now... Don't go into a time vortex in the quantum realm.
Yeah. So what if the time vortex? I mean, we already have been sort of speculating about the timey-wimey nature.
Maybe that's where Captain Marvel is.
Maybe.
Yo.
Maybe.
Maybe that's how she gets from 1995 to...
Infinity War times.
Two.
Yes. Infinity War times two.
That's what it's going to be. This time he wipes out yet another half of the population. Yeah, maybe that's how Captain Marvel turns up from, like, maybe. the 90s. That'd be cool. And there was a bit of theory of that at the end of Ant-Man 1?
I think they would definitely talk... I definitely remember there being talk about how the quantum realm might play a role. Either, like, Marvel, Captain Marvel potentially being trapped there. Some type of, like, that was, like, her route into our MCU, basically.
I wonder if they've got a good pager signal in the quantum realm.
Oh, good question. Yeah, so... And then all of them, Janet, Hank, Hope, just poof.
Oh, my God. It's sickening.
I know.
It's so, this whole people disintegrating stuff is sickening. I'm tired of it. Like, I can't believe everyone just gets dusted at the end of Infinity War.
I know
we've talked about this, but it's just mental. Like, they killed everyone.
I know. Oh, God.
Like... It's traumatic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've spent so long talking about this and they just all got dusted.
Yeah.
I mean, they better come back.
Yeah.
If there's one person who doesn't come back, who do you think it is?
Oof, tricky. It's a hard one because, like, it's weird. I mean, we've talked a lot about how it was, like, the OG Avengers that have, plus Rhodey, are still there.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't think about this until last night when I was, not last night, two nights ago when I was in bed, and it, like, terrified me, was not only are they there, but Bruce is trapped in the Hulkbuster suit.
Yeah.
The suit made to contain him.
Yeah.
Like, half stoned in a wall, like, the rock around him. Like,
I feel like... Wasn't there a final scene of everyone sort of standing around in the woods? I don't think... I correct me if I'm wrong, but I do remember, like, a final sort of, like, hero shot scene of everyone looking, like, kind of devastated, and that's the point where Hulk is standing there with his head hanging down, looking terribly CGI'd in there.
Maybe. But I swear that...
It was definitely not... you're absolutely right. He did get put into a wall. Oh.
It's that whole, like, being buried alive feeling.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I'm like, I've said to my friends who are going through this, I was like, when you get to Infinity War, you invite me around. Because they've got a projector, so they've been watching these on, like, movie size. Nice. I'm like, I can see this in the movies again. Yeah. It'd be so, I mean, I saw it, what, 6 times in the cinema.
Yep.
And I haven't seen it again since. Oh. I've been, like, waiting.
I'm so excited.
But I'm so stoked to see it again on the big screen. It'd be great. Thank you very much for today, everyone. It's been awesome. I had a great time. Really excited to see if people get undusted, sucked through a time vortex, or Captain Marveled out of there. We'll be back in the new year, as we said.
Yeah.
Anna, it's been a pleasure.
As always.
Have a wonderful...
lunch break.
Lunch... I mean, it's evening. I've had pizza. A whole chicken and jalapeno pizza, and I'm starting to feel it. I mean, I, throughout this whole thing, I've had to look at my own reflection. And I'm so fat. You wouldn't
believe.
Perfect
prep for the holiday
Everyone
season.
Keeps saying this, but I've been fat for like 15 years. But it's not like... I've been prepping for every Christmas series. It's unbelievable. Right, we'll make a quick getaway.
Yes, indeed.
Have a great time.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.